Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's second quarter 2021 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and US SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this conference call for the results of the second quarter of 2021. As usual, we will start with a financial review of the results of the quarter. You can go to page number four. There we can see that we have a really good quarter. We had a sales of $1.56 billion, that is 15.5% higher than the last quarter. In terms of net income, we almost doubled the net income to $200 million, coming from $100 million in the first quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA went up to $545 million. That is a 42% increase over the result of the first quarter and probably one of the best quarters ever for the company. In terms of net debt and leverage, we also were able to reduce the net debt from $5 billion to $4.76 billion. And thanks also to the better last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, we were able to reduce also the leverage from 4 times to a little bit less than 3 times for the quarter ended in June. We move to page number five, and we go a little bit in detail on the different lines of the income statement. As already mentioned, revenues went up 15.5%. That is explained basically by an increase of 24% in the pulp division revenues that went up $136 million. That is explained by a big increase in average prices, almost 40% compared to the last quarter. That was partially offset by a 4% decrease in sales volume. The wood divisions also helped increase revenues by $72 million, which is a 9.4% increase over the last quarter. And that is also explained by an 8.6% increase in average prices, were more or less constant volumes of sales. We can see in the graph that currently the sales in the quarter were basically 54% wood products and 46% pulp division. In terms of cost of sales, we have a slight decrease of 1.2%, that is about $10 million. We had lower volume in pulp, so that helps decrease the total cost of sales. But we had some increases in unitary cost of production. You can see there below that softwood bleached pulp went up 6.7%, and that is basically explained by some maintenance stoppage that we have in line two and in the Esperanza Mill in Argentina during the quarter, and some stock effect over the maintenance of Nueva Aldea in quarter one. So that increased the production cost that is absorbed in the stocks, and that put a pressure in cost of sales. Also, we had higher chemical cost and fuel cost that were increasing the cost of production. In hardwood, we had a slight decrease in hardwood in unitary costs, which is explained by lower depreciation. And in the terms of unbleached softwood pulp, we had a slight increase of 2.5%. That is basically explained by lower production due to a one-week strike that we had in the Constitución mill during the quarter. If we move to page 6, administrative expenses, we had a 10% increase, $14 million, from 137 to 151. The increase is basically explained by other administrative expenses, which includes a lot of things, but the main increase is over sanitization services and COVID-19 testing, especially the MAPA project. We also had increase in property tax, patents, and municipality rights. The increase there is about $4 million. We had some one-time effects of property taxes in Argentina and some other withholding taxes paid because of we paid interest during the quarter. We had also some increases in wages, salaries, and in severity indemnities to a lower extent, about $2 million. In terms of distribution cost, we had an increase of 10%, even with a lower volume exported, but that is basically explained by a higher freight cost. So the unitary cost of freight went up, as have gone up in all the world because of the logistic complications of the COVID-19 effects. So we had increases in the cost of freight, even though we had long-term contracts that were able to soften some of the increase. We had an increase of about $10 million in terms of freight cost. That explained most of the increase in distribution cost. We move to page number 7, and we look at the other income and other expenses. We had a reduction in other income of $30 million from one quarter to the other. This is basically explained that in the first quarter of 21, we had a one-time income of the sale of our shares of Forestal Los Lagos, which was about $20 million of income before taxes. That is explains the reduction to a more normal level in the second quarter of this year. In terms of other expenses, we also have a reduction from 38 to 33. Again, in the first quarter, we had an account, the accruing of the loss of forest in Mato Grosso because of the fire of about $8 million. That is incrementing the first quarter. But we also have some increases in impairment provision for plant and equipment, basically because we have normal maintenance, and normally you have to deteriorate some of the assets that you're replacing during the maintenance. Not a big increment, about $4 million on that part. Page number 8, if we review the total income statement, we already gone through the first lines, but in terms of financial income, we can say that we had a higher financial income marginally because of higher cash levels. We also have lower debt, so that explains the reduction in financial cost. In terms of the increase in participation of profits in associates, basically it's explained by better results by our affiliate Sonae Arauco in Europe that accounted for better results than the first quarter. We had also lower exchange rate differential from 8.5 negative to 5.2 negative. And in terms of income tax, we had a higher income tax that is explained by better operating results and also by an accounting of deferred tax in Argentina because of the increase in the tax rate in Argentina back to 35%, that a one-time effect of about $49 million in the deferred tax in that $123 million. That is a one-time effect. Now moving to page 9 and looking historically about adjusted EBITDA, we can see that we had a very good result, 545, as I told you, one of the best and probably the best result ever for the company with no recurrent effects. That is a 35% EBITDA margin. And in terms of where the EBITDA came from, pulp had $330 million and wood products $254 million. And of course, all the considered adjustments and central expenses account for $40 million. In terms of the of the differential between one quarter or the other, pulp was up $120 million compared to last quarter, and wood products another $67 million compared to last quarter, which was also very good. In terms of consolidation adjustment and other, we had a reduction of $25 million that is already also explained by the sale of the of Forestal Los Lagos. We had a one-time effect in quarter one. Now, if we go to a little bit in detail to the other, to the two segments of the company, we'll go to page 11 and look about the evolution of prices in the pulp, fixed pulp indexes. We, as usual, you're seeing the European indexes in the top and the China prices, which is are more easy to read because our net prices, and you can see the evolution. We're going to talk a little bit more in the next slides about the our prices, but we saw that we reached a peak in terms of pricing during the second quarter, in the middle of the quarter, and then prices start to go down at the end of the quarter, especially in China and also especially in short fiber. Currently, the price differential between the both fibers, short and long fiber, is about $200. And in terms of global bleach chemical pulp shipments, we had a reduction of 3.5% when we take into account the 5 months of the of this year compared to last year. In terms of shipment to China, it was flat in about 8.9 million tons. If we look at the inventories, we are currently at 38 days for softwood and 37 days for hardwood. Very stable if you look at the other number of days for the other quarters. Now going to page 12 and looking at the evolution of the EBITDA in pulp, you can see there the $330 million obtained in the second quarter. That is 57% more than last quarter and 96% more than a year ago. And if you see in the table below, there's a big impact in pricing, 40% compared to last quarter and almost 70% compared to a year ago. Volumes are down 4.4% this quarter and 12% compared to last quarter. You can see the production and sales during this quarter. We sold a little bit less than the production, so we accumulated about 50,000 tons of stock. But production was a very good level, and 876, sales a little bit lower to 823. In terms of comments of the market, as already told, the prices were going up starting from March, and we reached peak levels in terms of prices, almost $1,000 per ton to bleach softwood, 980 during April and May. And short fiber is, remained stable at $800 per ton until June. Long fiber had a reduction, a correction from $980 to $900 at the end of the quarter. In terms of dissolving pulp, the prices were very good also, more or less $1,100 and ending the quarter in $1,050. So it was a very good quarter. Some logistical challenges, of course, in all the world to supply the markets, but prices were very good, and that's just reflected in the our margins and on EBITDA for the quarter. Now, if we go to page 13 and we look out into the outlook, we can see that the seasonality effects that are normal during the beginning of the third quarter had its effects, and we saw prices going down, especially in short fiber, which went down a little bit more than $100, from $800 to $695 to July. Also, long fiber went down to from 900 to 860. These are all prices for China, net prices, and stayed at that level. But we had a further reduction in short fiber to $670 at the end for August deliveries. In terms of dissolving pulp, the prices stayed more or less stable, a little bit up over $1,000. So more pressure coming to the market, decrease in the demand during, because of seasonality, but also because of lower demand for paper and the tissue in China. That was reflected in a correction of prices that went down, especially in short fiber. If we look at the stoppage of our mills, you can see there that we already done all of the annual maintenance stoppage for this year. The one that was programmed for the second quarter was the Arauco Line 2 and Esperanza. In the case of Esperanza, was a longer maintenance. And we already did the 11-day stoppage at Licancel. So we don't have any other stoppages during the rest of the year, so we should have better production coming from the rest of the year. From next year, we will start our annual program with Constitución, and we will go to the stoppage of Valdivia, and Montes de Plata is currently programming from to 10-day stoppage for March. So good production for the rest of the year. Okay, if we go to page 14 and talk a little bit more about wood products. Here we have had very good results starting from last year, and we have been improving every quarter the results. We had a $254 million EBITDA for the second quarter. That is a 36% increase over last quarter and a 280% increase from a year ago. And you can see there that if you look at especially solid wood, we look at prices. They continue to go up 77.2%, and prices are currently 30% above the 1 year ago. And also volume. You can see that we are currently producing 20% more than and selling more 20% more than we did a year ago. The same in panels. You can see that volume is 40%. We currently are producing 100% capacity in all the mills, and we have very good pricing. So perspective for this market, explained, of course, by strong demand for products of home improvement and remodeling, and the reactivation of construction projects are helping to have a continued demand in this segment. And we expect that this probably will continue through the end of the year. It's been very, very good results. We already talked about increases in price in solid wood, 7%. And we had a decrease in plywood sales of 20%, but this is basically explained by adjustment in stock and some logistical problems in the delivery of plywood. But currently, prices are 14% above last quarter, with very, very good pricing, especially in the United States. If we go to page 15, we can see there our production and sales level. You can see the difference from 1 year ago, and currently very stable. The only big change you can see in the plywood sales, that we were selling more than production in the first quarter, and now we went a little bit below production to adjust some of the volume. But the production is very healthy in our plywood mills in Chile. In terms of the outlook, in page 16 for the wood product division, in terms of North America, which represents 54% of our sales, we are expecting stable markets for particle board in the third and fourth quarter of this year. We're going to have somehow a higher supply, a lower demand compared to Q2. The MDF market is very active, and we expect it to continue the same way during the rest of the year. So we are optimistic there. In terms of remanufactured wood products, we are seeing a very strong market. Prices continue to rise. This is basically moldings that we sell from MDF moldings or solid wood moldings. So we see a very, very strong market, and we have been able to keep on increasing pricing in this market. Prices in plywood have continued at high levels, but with such high prices, we are seeing more supply and, of course, some seasonally decreasing in demand, which is normal. In terms of housing start, we have been seeing and showing this graph for for many years, and we are seeing a continuous increment in the housing starts per year. Currently, we are at 1.5 million houses being constructed. Page 17, and going now to the second biggest market, which is Central and South America, especially South America. We also have very good news in terms of the markets. In Brazil, the market is very active in both in particle board and MDF, and we expect that also to continue. We are not seeing any decrease in the demand for these types of products. The same in Chile, demand stronger than supply, higher prices, supply shortages, everyone remodeling their houses and trying to construct a little bit more, and that is shown in very good prices in some timber and also in plywood. Argentina, we are seeing the same, increasing demand and pricing, and that has helped us to continue to increase prices that compensate inflation and the devaluation in Argentina. In terms of the market in Asia and Oceania, which represents 10%, that is basically wood, some timber. There's some logistical problems in Southeast Asia, and markets have slowed down a little bit because of the effects in China and seasonality. And Oceania market continues to be strong, and outlook continues to be positive on the short term. So, in summary, very, very good results and very good prospects for the wood pulp division. Page 18, and we look at the free cash flow. This quarter, we had a $253 million positive free cash flow that is built on a better adjusted EBITDA, compensated by working capital accumulation. But also this quarter, we had a higher interest paid because that's where normally our payment of bonds, interest bonds, takes place. That was compensated by some tax refunds that we received and other small things that help us get more or less the same cash from operations, so 50 million more. But we had a higher capex, especially because of MAPA, going from $300 million to $400 million. And in terms of cash from financing, we received the $200 million of the capital contribution from Empresas Copec in May, so that's helped us have a very good cash generation there. So we were able to reduce our net debt by $265 million, from $5 billion to $4.76. And that explains basically the reduction in net leverage together with the higher last 12 months EBITDA, which is currently about $1.6 billion. In terms of cash and liquidity, because of the capital contribution and the good results, we were able to have a $1.1 billion in cash. And that together with our revolving facility that is unused, we have a total of liquidity of $1.5 billion. So very good liquidity for the moment and to finish the projects and for other aspects of the company. Page 20, the evolution of net debt going down and also especially the leverage from a peak that we got in the second quarter of 2020, which was probably almost six times. Now we are at half of that, three times, and that should continue to go up as we build a better last 12-month EBITDA, and also because of the free cash flow generation that we're getting that will help us to reduce the net debt. Total financial debt decreased 1% from 5.89 billion to from 5.95 to 5.89, but because of the increasing cash, our net debt went down to $4.76 billion. So very good evolution, and we expect that will continue as we improve our cash generation. In terms of debt amortization schedule, in page 21, we had to pay this year $272 million, which is explained by bank obligations of almost 200 million. A big portion of that is the amortization that Montes del Plata has to do, and they finance with their own cash generation. And we have about $70 million of bond obligations that That includes amortization of local bonds and interest payments for the rest of the year. The next big payment of amortizations is 2024, which is about 800 million, which the big part is $541 million from bonds to be amortized that year. Now, if we go to material facts and news, we start with page 23. We were able in August 17 to close the deal of the sale of the forestry assets. Remember that on May 12th, we signed an agreement with BTG to sell 461 forestry properties for a total of 80,000 hectares, from which 61,000 hectares were productive, for a total of $385.5 million, plus the corresponding value-added tax. So on August 17, all the conditions present were met, and we signed all the documents for the first 430 properties that account for $343 million. That is the one that were ready to be signed. And the rest of the 31 properties are promised to be sold once we finalize some specific things that need to be clear on those properties. So this is very good news for our liquidity that will be getting the cash as the properties are inscribed under the new owner, which we expect that will happen in the next 2 months. So during this third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, we will get the $385 million. So that will help us reduce our debt even more. This agreement will have an effect on after-tax income of about $190 million, and an effect on one-time effect on EBITDA of around $250 million. Okay. And finally, in page 24, some update of MAPA. MAPA is currently, as of the end of July, about 86% advanced. You can see a photograph of the mill. The recent things that happened is that we put into service the bridge cranes and the washing and machine buildings. We have started the hydraulic test for the digester, and we also began the production of demineralized water in the mill. We have been, of course, putting a lot of effort in doing PCR testing. We are doing more than 2,000 PCR exams per day in five test centers, and we have done more than 400,000 PCR tests during to our workers in the site in order to contain the contagious of COVID-19. So we are expecting to complete the construction during the fourth quarter of 2021. At that point, we will cease operations in line one. Remember, this is line one is a 300,000 ton mill from the 70s that will be closed down once the production starts in line three, which is MAPA, according to the environmental permit. In page 25, just to show a couple of photographs, this is on the left side, the control room, which is a very, very nice control room, but very digital with a lot of screens, and we're very, very impressed by the technology that we have in this mill. And another photograph on the right side is the evaporation plant of the mill that almost ready to start production. So that is what I have in this presentation. So now I will open for any questions that you might have. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star then two. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And the first question will come from Hernan Kisluk with MetLife. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question and for the presentation. So my question is regarding bond financing. So some of your peers in the region have already issued green bonds or sustainability-linked bonds. but so far you still haven't issued instruments of this kind. Are you planning to do so? Are you interested in this market, or what is your view on this kind of financing?
Okay, thanks, Alan. Well, we have done green bonds or sustainable bonds. We issued one sustainable bond for $1 billion. So we have done. We haven't done is linked bonds, linked to certain KPIs for sustainability. And why we haven't done it is because we haven't issued any bonds. I mean, we are, as you probably saw in the presentation, we have a very good liquidity. We are ending the construction of MAPA. We have good pricing. So currently, we don't need to refinance anything yet. We could do that probably next year in anticipation for the amortization of 2024. But currently, we don't have plans to issue new bonds, and that's why we haven't done any sustainable linked bonds or debt. We will analyze that possibility once we decide to do that, and I think we could be very easy done because of we have very, very good KPIs in sustainability, and we have what is needed to do that, but we haven't decided to do any financing yet.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone at this time or any time. Please hold again while we poll for questions. And the next question will come from Rodrigo Godoy with Banchile. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gianfranco. Thank you very much for the call. And I have two questions. The first one is related to market pulp prices. And can you give us some color on what are you informing your clients for September orders in terms of prices for softwood and hardwood? And the second one is related to MAPA. Given the progress until today, and I know that you are planning to start up in the fourth quarter of this year, but can you give us some idea on how much production or sales are you planning for this year? That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, Rodrigo, thanks. Well, regarding the prices for September, for China, we announced and we confirmed the same prices for softwood. So we keep out the 860. And for hardwood, we had a slight reduction of $15 for AKP, so $655. Dollars for UKP, so unbleached kraft pulp, we maintain pricing of 770. That is the prices that we have for September. So a little bit of reduction in hardwood, same pricing for softwood and in bleached softwood and unbleached softwood. And regarding MAPA, yes, we maintain the fourth quarter start. We don't expect a lot of production this year and not a lot of sales this year because of the ramp up. So we don't expect to add a lot of volume to the market this year. Of course, as we prepare for the startup, we will have more information, but currently we, in our projections, we're not putting a lot of sales and a very small production this year.
Thank you very much. Yep.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. And we do have another question, and that question is from Jonathan Brandt with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. They're both related to the hardwood segment. I think you mentioned that you had less sales volume than you did production, so there was some inventory build this quarter. I'm just wondering if that was, you know, what the rationale for that was. Was it on purpose? Was there logistics issues? Things like that, if you could sort of help me understand that inventory movement. And then the second question is, with the recent fall in Chinese pulp prices, at least on the hardwood side, we've seen the European prices at a bit of a premium to the Chinese prices. I'm just wondering if that will, how you see that playing out. Do you think that's sustainable? Will you move more volumes into the European market away from China? Any insights would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the less sales in hardwood and the inventory buildup is only circumstantial. I mean, is logistical things, end of the month shipments and things like that. We can see that every quarter, every year we have some movements. Currently, the stocks are not very high, normal levels. We are about 1.2 months of production, which is very low, considering that we are very far away from the market. So that we are counting all the stocks in our mills, in the vessels, and the warehouses. So it's not a very 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 big inventory. In terms of pricing of hardwood, we have seen some decrease, and currently there's some premium of the prices in Europe. In the past month, of course, Europe was lagging in terms of all the increases in price in China came. Prices in Europe were a little bit depressed, and so the catch up in Europe was quite fast. And because of logistical issues, it went a little bit over the Chinese prices. I mean, we have most of our sales go to China. I mean, I think we sell about 17% in Europe, so we cannot move a lot of volume to Europe for some circumstantial price increase. And so we need to keep our clients in China supplied. And I think this is only going to be temporary. Most of the times prices are aligned because the only differential has to be with a logistical cost. So I think that prices will tend to normalize somehow with probably a reduction in Europe or some catch-up in pricing in China. But we don't expect that to continue, and we don't expect to shift a lot of our production to Europe because of some temporary differential in prices in Europe.
That's great. If I could just ask a quick follow-up just on logistics, sort of broadly, have you had any issues with availability on containers or broadly any other significant logistics issues across all of your segments? Or worse over the past few months?
Well, yeah. I mean, the availability of containers is a worldwide thing. I mean, with some restrictions in ports in China, less export from China, tends to change the availability of containers, and we have been hurt also. We are the biggest exporter in terms of volume from Chile, so we have very good contracts with shipping companies and long-term contracts that has helped us to be in a better position than other companies. But we have had to ship some of our exports to break bulk instead of containers, which were usually cheaper than break bulk. And we have to prioritize some of the shipments between the wood product division and the pulp division in order to get the better margin. So it has been a problem. We think that for us has been less of a problem than for other competitors because of our size and negotiation power with shipping companies.
Great. Thank you very much.
And as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. This concludes the question and answer section at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, again, thanks for attending this conference call. As usual, any further questions, you can direct it to our investor relations team here in Chile. And we'll be publishing probably our third quarter numbers in November. So we'll talk then. And if you have any other doubts, write us to our investor relations account by email. Thanks.
And thank you, sir. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a nice day.